A very warm welcome to UBM's full year conference call. Thank you for your interest, even at lunchtime, and maybe more important, in super volatile times. Let me give you a quick summary as well as the structure of today's call, as shown on slide three. Of course, a full year call has to start with a recap on our above expectation cash, as well as an incredible rebound in residential sales numbers. This will be followed by some detail on our significantly improved financials. We believe that we are at the watershed of our industry, a real watershed, a turning point in time in three dimensions. We can report on some substantial operational improvements. We believe the crisis is over in residential and that we are currently seeing the low in the light industrial and office asset class. Finally, we are confident to return to profitability in Q3 or Q4 of this year. With our ability to invest approximately €500,000 every day, we have 3,000 apartments under development or for sale and can still show a pipeline of €1.9 billion over the next 4 years. Our expectation is also based on our conviction that ESG is going to prevail, simply because Europe has no alternative than to substitute oil and gas with renewables, as well as to significantly reduce the carbon footprint of buildings. This is key in the fight to slow global warming and its expensive consequences. Finally, our outlook reflects what I just said. With the market shakeout continuing throughout 2025, the few survivors will benefit from the new situation beyond. The secret of our robust liquidity also lies in the successful sale of non-strategic assets in a magnitude of €100 million last year. And there are still some opportunities left, as you can see on slide number four. In more concrete terms, after we have sold two of four of six buildings in Poleczki Business Park, there are another four to go. The hotel transaction market is showing some signs of recovery. Maybe some of you have read this also in Thomas Daily today. And we still have five hotels on the shelf from the corona pandemic. The clearly recovered residential transactions market can be seen on slide five. We have quadrupled our sales last year, and the boom continues in Q1 of this year. This is particularly encouraging as we are still missing institutional investors almost entirely. With one exception, we see cities or community-based bodies buying apartments in order to house their bus drivers, nurses, or policemen and women. Remember, we have reported on the sale of 124 apartments to Münchner Wohnen last year and see interest from this angle continue in 2025. At this point, let me hand over to Patrick, who will present you our final numbers, which will confirm the preliminaries. Patrick, please.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you, Thomas. Looking at the chart on the left, one can clearly see the point in time before the real estate crisis began. Of course, we find it difficult to report a loss for the second consecutive year. While last year's result was largely driven by revaluations, we recorded over 70 million, 7-0, in revaluations in 2023. The financial year 2024 already shows a significant improvement. It's certainly nothing to be proud of, but we are moving in the right direction. We managed to reduce our loss by more than 40% compared to the previous year and improve most of our balance sheet ratios. I would also like to emphasize that we have had no construction stops and continue to invest in our project pipeline every day, even though the balance sheet has been shrinking. We also reduced our net debts by 11%. Our equity ratio has slightly fallen below our target range of 30 to 35%. However, this was primarily due to the 200 million in cash held at year end, and our target to stay in the range of 30%-35% still remains. One KPI I would like to highlight is showing our progress and cost savings in the area of personnel expenses. Not only will we, for the second year in a row, not distribute a dividend, we will also not pay any bonuses to employees or to ourselves, the executive board. Despite very high collective agreement-related salary increases over the past 2 years, we successfully reduced our personnel expenses for the second consecutive year by 26%. Just as a reminder, we reduced personnel costs in 2023 already by 16%. In other words, we have also done our internal homework. To sum it up, despite challenging conditions, we present a stable balance sheet and have made considerable improvements compared to the previous year. Let's move on to the next slide, which covers our cash position. As Thomas briefly mentioned, we are proud to have successfully pursued our announced cash generation program in 2024. This achievement allowed us to increase our cash position by 48 million in 2024. At year end, we reported liquidity of 199.5 million, significantly exceeding the guidance we provided during our Q3 earnings call, where we had anticipated ending the year with more than 150 million in liquidity. We have not been lowballing, but we successfully closed the sale of a non-strategic asset in December, which positively contributed to our stronger than expected year-end cash balance of 200 million. Over the past few years, we have also proven our reliability as a bond issuer. We have repaid 250 million in bonds from our cash reserves in 2022 and 2023 alone. However, these repayments have also significantly reduced our debt capacity, which we aim to rebuild or at least to stabilize. In summary, we have successfully navigated through a challenging period of more than 3 years, and we delivered on our promise of liquidity over profitability and demonstrated that cash management is and will remain a top priority. Let's now take a look at our debt redemption profile on chart number 8. We are proud that, even throughout the past 2 challenging years, we had the opportunity to remain active on the debt capital markets. Just as a reminder, ahead of summer 2023, we issued our first 50 million green bond, which was primarily retail-focused. In Q4 2024, we followed up with a second green bond of 93 million, almost twice the size of the first. We invested considerable effort in our dialogue with you last year and are truly grateful for the regular and constructive conversations. The 2024 transaction was primarily aimed at smoothing our maturity profile over the coming years. To this end, we also offered 2 bonds for exchange. Looking ahead, we are scheduled to repay 1 bond and some Schuldschein loans in Q4 2025. However, our first step will be to address our hybrid capital as it determines our balance sheet capacity. As part of our preliminary results announcements on March 10th, we gave a soft announcement that we intend to proactively address the hybrid bond market well before the potential step up in June 2026. In recent weeks, we have had active and productive discussions with investors on this topic. Whenever market conditions calming down, you can expect more concrete information. Once this topic is resolved, we might evaluate the market for a potential senior bond issuance. We are proud and above all thankful for the continued trust placed in us, especially during difficult times. Let's move to slide number 9. I already touched upon the topic of personnel costs and the internal work we have done. We have also made significant progress operationally. Already last year, we outlined how we aim and are required by market conditions to enhance our operational efficiency, particularly in order to re-establish a viable business model in the office asset class that aligns with the current market environment. Since we are talking about the office segment here, we are also talking in multiples of annual rent. On the left side of the slide, you can see where we stood yesterday on the left bar chart and where we want to be going forward tomorrow on the right. This evaluation is based on data from our own projects. We divide our cost blocks into four categories: construction costs, incidental costs, land acquisition, and financing. In the first category, construction costs, we have already made tangible improvements in efficiency. Our focus here is on standardization, simplification, and modularization. Our first project, Timber Pioneer, had a prefabrication share of 23%. Our second project, Leopold Quartier, Bauteil A, where we could already incorporate lessons learned from Timber Pioneer, reached a prefabrication level of 43%. This is clearly moving the needle. Moreover, the growing shortage of skilled labor is one of the key reasons why standardization and shifting more construction processes into the factory are so important for us. Prefabricated bathroom models are an even more advanced example. They allow for industrialized production without compromising on quality or appearance, as they are virtually no different from conventional ones. Another important step is what is referred to as the Hamburg model, previously dealt with by the Buschmann initiative. The core idea is to make construction simpler again, keywords being wall thickness, number of sockets, etc. There is significant saving potential of up to one-third. We are also currently benefiting from overcapacities in the construction sector, especially in building construction, which is in crisis mode. However, we consider this as a rather short-term effect. For the largest cost block, construction, we therefore anticipate a substantial saving potential of around 5%, which has been confirmed so far by newly awarded contracts. Savings in the incidental cost category of up to 19% are largely a result of lower construction costs, but also stem from the high degree of prefabrication, which eliminates the need for significant reserves for changes while already in execution. In the area of acquisitions, where we would see the greatest impact on multiples, we have not yet gained tangible experience. As you may have noticed, aside from a small top-up of an existing project in Praha, we haven't made any acquisitions in recent quarters. This is mainly due to our current focus on preserving liquidity for potential repayments. Only once we have full clarity on our debt maturity profile will we be in a position to utilize our cash reserves for new acquisitions. As you are well aware, the last cost block, financing, has also developed in line with our expectations. Financing costs will increase by around 10%, despite the fact that we significantly shortened the erection time of our projects. UBM currently faces an average cost of debt in the range of 5 to 6%. That said, we anticipate that once the office market gains momentum again, we will be able to achieve exit multiples of 20 to 25 times an annual rent in this asset class. Internally, we account for shareholder loans at a cost of capital of 8%, meaning our business model is resilient enough to absorb this increase in financing costs. What's most important, unlocking scalability and reducing construction time are the two main levers that will make the office business model profitable for UBM again. We have done our initial homework, and we believe we are on a good track for tomorrow. Back to Thomas.
Thank you, Patrick, and please turn to slide number 10. What you can see on this slide are the three office projects which will be completed in this year. The most familiar one, and the one which is already completed by now, is our Timber Pioneer project on the left. With a still fairly depressed transactions market in Frankfurt and multiples well below 20 times annual rent, we have decided to go for plan B. What do I mean? We are currently negotiating a three-year financing with an equity release in a range of 25 million-30 million euros. Based on a 50% equity financing through the difficult times of the last 3 years, and given the flawless execution of the project, we can afford to wait for 2 or 3 years, hoping for a normalization of the market as employees are coming back to the office in more and more branches of the business. On the center photo, you see the office park of LeopoldQuartier in Vienna. Now, it is important to appreciate that Vienna is different, as it was often advertised in the past, from other capitals in Europe, with a vacancy rate of only 3.7% by end of first quarter, and only 100,000-120,000 square meters of new office space coming to the market. LeopoldQuartier office is going to be the best located 20,000 square meters in town. So we are confident to be able to lease it out within the next 6 months and to sell it to an institutional investor who expects an above average return on this investment, given the specific market situation in Vienna. On the right-hand side, you see what we would call, quote-unquote, a joker, a much smaller office building with not even 9,000 square meters in the Zollhofen Mainz. It is quite unique by a number of standards. It is the highest modern building in Mainz, with more than 40 meters. It is the first timber building of this size in Hesse, and the architecture, as well as the location within the Zollhofen Mainz development, is quite unique. Given all of these features, we see a good chance that an investor, or a bigger family office even, might take the opportunity to buy it at the very beginning of what eventually could turn out to be a new market cycle. And there's always a plan B, like for the Timber Pioneer, as we come closer to completion in the fourth quarter of this year. Let us carry on to our top three resi projects, as can be seen on slide 11. As mentioned in my intro, the low point in resi lies well behind us, and the demand is continuously growing. On the left, you see an already completed resi project, completed in end of last year, with around 280 apartments in Prague. The reason why we show it is 243 apartments, or 87%, were sold before completion, and this is not unique to this project only. The center photo features our currently largest project, Village im Dritten in Vienna, with almost 500 apartments and in a joint venture with ARE Austrian Real Estate. To be precise, it is not one big building, but 4, which are built in stages and completed in the first half of 2026. We have sold 135 units so far, and the demand is unabated. On the right side of the slide, you see LeopoldQuartier Living, so the apartment side of LeopoldQuartier, 250 high-end timber hybrid apartments, which have started well behind Village im Dritten, but will be completed around the same time due to the significant time advantage this method of construction brings to the table. This is also the reason why it seems that comparatively few apartments have been sold so far. Marketing has started significantly later than for Village im Dritten. We believe, given the location and the clear concerns which comes with a net zero building, the apartments will find the specific buyer group. Why are we so proud of the success of our resi development? Well, please have a look at our pipeline on slide number 12. We managed our pipeline to lean strongly towards resi within a few quarters. Today, being asked what UBM stands for, I would answer spontaneously, resi, timber, and Germany. 58% of our pipeline consists of resi, translating into around 3,000 apartments for sale or under development in less than 10 major cities, led by Vienna and followed by Prague and Munich. An impressive 76% of our pipeline consists of timber construction, making us at least one of the leading developers of timber projects in Europe. Last but definitely not least, 58% of our pipeline is in Germany, the largest market in the European Union, which has no alternative than reinventing itself and coming up with a solution for the 800,000 to 1 million apartments which are missing in Germany over the next 5 years. Two more slides to go and very little to be added to the text on these slides. Please turn to slide number 13. I have explained at the beginning of the call why Europe has no alternative to pursuing ESG. Sustainability will keep Europe, the continent, with the highest quality of living. And green investments are where the growth is going forward. UBM leads the pack in our industry, being the only DACH company with a B- rating. We are confident to continue to defend this rating going forward. However, this does not mean that we are not critical about the excessive bureaucracy which comes with ESG, and even more critical about legislation like the supply chain law, the Lieferkettengesetz. It clearly is a governmental responsibility to make sure that human rights are obeyed. This is no responsibility whatsoever which may be shifted to companies. But rather than getting philosophical or even worse political, I would like to ask you to follow me to the last slide of our formal presentation, slide 14. At the beginning of last year, we have promised that 2024 is going to be better than 2023. While some of you might have thought then that this is far from an ambitious goal, reality has proven that delivering on this guidance at the given circumstances is not easy. But we did it. Now, we still believe that 2025 has a good chance to turn out better than 2024, even with uncertainties having increased, to actually use it in a nice way. Unless we see a Great Depression by a worldwide trade war, 2025 has all the ingredients to make us perform better and continue our upward trend. With very little doubt that ultimately, the quote-unquote survivors will be rewarded for successfully fighting the uphill battle. Very few competitors will be left providing society with what can be called a fundamental human right, a place to live and a place to work. Real estate developers are neither producing luxury nor something humans don't really need. We are not producing chocolate. We are developing what makes us an essential part, as essential as bees are for the ecosystem. Please always keep this in mind. May I thank you for your attention and open the lines now for your questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their telephone. You will hear a tone to confirm that you have entered the queue. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Questioners on the phone are requested to disable the loudspeaker mode while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question comes from Simon Stipic from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, Tim. Could you hear me well?
Yes, excellent. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you very much for the presentation, also the opportunity to ask some questions. I have a couple of questions. I just asked two, and maybe at the end, if there's more time, I will ask the other questions. First of all, would be in regard to financing. Here, it's pretty nice that you saw a flat financing year over year in cost, and bond financing increased while project financing decreased. So here my question would be what the driver for that was, especially in regard to project financing. Could you provide some more detail and also the mood of the banks to finance your projects, and also if there's any expectations of equity injection for the year? And then here you have 200 million in project financing to be rolled over for this year. Usually you do that, but could you comment on the split per project or asset of those 200 millions? That would be very useful. And the second part of the question or topic is an easy one, I assume, because in the past you had a very useful slide with your investment into the portfolio. And I know that in 2023, you invested 175 million in your pipeline. And you also mentioned again that you invested 500,000 per day. So could you tell me here the full amount you invested in the portfolio in 2024? Thank you very much.
Sure, Simon. I think these are both questions to the CFO. Let me start with the first one, the investment one, which was your last question. So this year it is 166. So 2004 number is 166 compared to the 175. This roughly same ballpark, I would say. So we are still talking about 500,000 a day we are investing. It's a number I have taken out of the cash flow. So that is what we invest in terms of cash in our projects. The more trickier one is the 200 million question on the project financing side. Let me try to tackle all of your questions which are behind this one. So first of all, the 200 million is a number where we also included refinancings which we have to do on the at equity sides in the project. So it is not a number you could find in our balance sheet, because the balance sheet number is rather 130 million. Which is the fully consolidated one. So is it a big number in comparison to the past? I would say it's an ordinary and normal number. We have seen a higher refinancing on the project financing in a year ahead, and we have seen also a bit lower numbers, but the 200 million is not a number which is which makes us very nervous. What is it particularly? Maybe to give you some flavor, it is predominantly projects which are in the development. So three-fourths of the number is coming from this type of project. Why are they coming up? Most of the time it is quite normal, because we are in terms of land plot financing, and when we bring that to a development phase, you need to refinance that. So it's a typical one. And one of these projects, as an example, is St. Veitstraße, which is the apartment project in Munich, where we already had this refinancing round in the first quarter of this year. We are not losing significant equity when we do it these days, because most of this has been done by the banks in terms of risk management. I have to say a big but. I don't know what is happening now in this crazy time. So a week or so ago, I would have said we have seen most of the equity we have to bring to the project, and we are not expecting another 60 million to lose on this side in the year. Another one, for example, for a standing thing, is the Foco Hotel in the Netherlands. We also have to refinance that, stable cash flow. I would say easy to refinance. And then there is maybe the Bauberger Straße, which is also a bigger one in Munich, which we also have to refinance. Tackled all your questions on this one?
Actually, you did. Yes, thank you. Yeah, thanks. And maybe I will come back with two more questions at the end if there's time.
Yeah, but now we wait. I want to hear a CEO question now.
You can ask me.
The next question comes from Stefan Scharf from SRC Research. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a couple of questions. So perhaps step by step is easier. The first would be about Munich, about the Bogner Areal, which you bought some years ago, and about 1 year ago in December 23, you got the preliminary permit for this area. It's more than 20,000 square meter. And perhaps you can say a bit more here, after the Gmunder Höfe was a good deal, what are your plans and what is the schedule for the Bogner area to finish it the next years in the east of Munich?
Okay. Then we do it step by step, and let me take this question. For all who are not so familiar, we've bought the former headquarters of Willy Bogner in Bergen-Laim. We are confident to offer their pretty unique apartments, 224, if you have a look into the backup, which I would anyway recommend of our presentation, you will find this number as well. We have currently a Bauvoranfrage running, and in parallel to a Baugenehmigung. So we are hoping that we will get a positive reply by end of or by beginning of summer. Let me put it this way. And we have some encouraging kind of, you know, anecdotes on the side, because a neighboring developer is offering apartments for square meter prices of up to 13,000 euros a square meter, 13. So this is why we say this is what Munich is waiting for. And you clearly pointed out with the deal that we've mentioned before, we expect more to come from the city of Munich or municipal bodies, be it the Stadtwerke, be it whoever else. They are all looking for apartments and paying a pretty full price for these apartments, because there is no housing for essential jobs like bus drivers or nurses, as I've mentioned in my intro message. Another question?
Okay. Okay. Yes, yes. Another question is about the hotel investment market in general. We see that office is still sluggish, not easy. And what's your feeling or what's your impression here about the hotel investment market? And also the question, after the first quarter is over, how satisfied are you with the revenues and with the bookings in your hotel business?
Yeah. Well, I also gave a hint in my intro presentation on a recovery of the hotel investment market. However, it is still high yield expectation of something between 6%-7%. But at these yields, there is some significant, I would even dare to say, but some substantial, is that's the word I think which better fits, interest that comes from quite traditional investors who see that the hotel business itself is recovering. And that brings me to the second part of your question. Of course, the first quarter is always the weakest. So you always have to compare it to the previous year's first quarter. But what we are seeing is stronger numbers almost throughout all of our markets for different reasons, be it that we expect the demand in Germany to continue. And I'm not even talking about, you know, the people who have to work to get the 500 billion investments invested. I mean, where are they going to live? Now, we are probably not hosting blue-collar workers for these sites, but we are definitely good for hosting management who has to regularly visit it, or project managers who will live close to the site. So that's Germany. With Poland, we are also pretty confident that the one way or the other, we will see a positive impact on occupancy rates. The big secret of success is going to be how will we bring up the average rate, i.e. how do we trade for higher paying customers. That's an art. I don't dare to elude on it, but I could. If you really want to have the details, you would have to have a private one-on-one with Martina, who's kind of core of the business this is. But bottom line, and I guess that's something you haven't even asked, but we have 5 hotels on our shelf, and we believe that 2025 is the first year where we can seriously look at selling, let me be cautious, at least one of these 5 hotels at a reasonable price and, more important, with a quite substantial liquidity effect on our balance sheet.
Okay, I see. Talking about sales, your forecast is cautious, of course. We are in April, and we all know what happened the last 2 weeks on the capital markets. But your forecast is, at the moment, just to come back to black numbers during the second half of the year. But if it would be possible to deliver 1 or 2 sales, let's say in Vienna, Leopold office, or the Mainz office, or something from the hotel portfolio, that would be enough, or could work, that you bring the full year numbers back to black?
No, the full year numbers I think is pretty much of a long shot given the current situation. Now, when it comes to sale of hotels, and I've described the yield expectation, I guess we would sell it for what we have it in the books. So profitability from that side is limited, to say the least. But we believe that on the office side, and I think you've even mentioned the most likely one, which is Leopold Quartier, we have a good chance, because if you are an international investor and you look at the metrics, whereby you fill in vacancy rates, number of square meters that come to the market, and the development of leases recently, you must end up with Vienna on the number one position by far. And this would mean that there is enough interest on the market that you get a competition into selling the office building, and that's always the secret of getting a comparatively full price. I mean, when we talk about comparatively full prices, we are talking about 20 to 22 and a half times of annual rent. Where am I pulling this number? Well, it's an open secret, at least here in Vienna, that one of the office buildings that we've developed and that is currently owned by one of the big German fund investors is on the market for 4.5%, which is the 22.5 times yield. One must say it's somewhat under rented, which has again something to do with the good development of the rent that we have seen, because there was always this joke that yes, Vienna has no vacancy rate, but Vienna also has no movement in the rents, and that's not true anymore. With the €26.60 that we've achieved for the first floors that we've let in Leopold Quartier A, we've set a new level of rents here in Vienna outside the first district. So, bottom line, you're absolutely right. We need a successful sale to arrive at a positive quarter. But as I said, it's a development, and with the product cycle being as it is, you know, it points the direction into the future.
Okay, I see. Perhaps 1 or 2 more words about Prague. in Prague. You bring the corporate news in February that you could double your share in a resi project from 50% to 100%. And will we have a positive impact here on the P&L already in this year, or is this more an impact for 26?
Let me take this one. So it is a resi project. So what you could expect is when we get into the erection phase this year, we will see some POC, but it will be not a big chunk of the result we are expecting there. So it will come over time. Probably we will see most of the effect in 2026/2027 from this project.
Okay.
Still,
okay.
Stefan, I'm grateful for you mentioning it, because that is a perfect example of what we said should be the future. Here we even have an advantage when we bought the 50% that we didn't own, because our co-owners wanted to get the money. We could buy it at a very reasonable price, because there's no competition. There hasn't been any competition for these 50%. And we do have pre-reservations, so to call, because we have currently only pulled down the old building. But these pre-reservations are extremely promising, as they are basically buyers who want to buy off plan. You will see first numbers in the second quarter numbers that we give on resi, and that is one of the reasons why we show this self-confidence regarding the continuation of the good sales in apartments. And finally, let me add a personal remark. You know, in times as we are seeing right now, okay, there are really two options people have if they have money. They can put it into gold, or they can put it into real estate. And I guess that is what we are also going to see even in bigger numbers when it comes to people buying apartments.
Okay. One very general final question is about, you did some good work on your debt maturity profile, and can you talk or give a bit more impression about your recent talks with investors, the sounding tour for a possible hybrid bond to come, or the general feeling about what the investors think about real estate in general and the development business in these very shaky times, as you just visited some European hubs and also visited the Raiffeisen Conference?
As I was pointing out, most of the talks we had before this tariff thing started with Trump. So markets are currently in a turmoil, don't know what is happening in the next 90 days. But before that time, feedback was pretty good. People were again interested in real estate, which was not the case, let's say, a year or a year and a half ago when it comes to institutional buyers. And when we talk about hybrid, we purely talk about institutional buyers. So there are no other buyers for this kind of product. I would say we were positive on it. If market conditions are coming back to a level where we would say it is a stable environment where you could print a bond, there is nothing hindering us to try to refinance our hybrid. It is more a refinancing of a hybrid and finding out our future balance sheet capacity when it comes to equity than anything else. So we are not searching for tons of new money. We are searching for clarity on our equity side.
Okay, I see. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you for your question.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. We have a follow-up question from Simon Stippig from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, great. Thanks. So I would come back and ask a couple of additional questions, if I may. So first one would be to Mr. Winkler. In regard to the Leopold Quartier on page 10, I don't want to pin you down, but did I hear that correctly that you said you would lease that out and then in the next 6 months and then potentially sell it? Is there something more concrete to it? And then would you then expect the mentioned multiple of 20 to 20.5 times? Second question would be in regards to the Resi project, also to you, Thomas. Here you mentioned numbers on slide 11, and all those numbers are based on year-end 2024. So you had a very strong Q4 last year. Is that trend continuing in Q1 25? Do you have any updated number? And also, could you see any change in the past weeks? Also, of course, there's the tariff introduction and then rewind of that, but also the German government introduced their, let's say, reform of debt brake. Was there anything you noticed, any change in buyer behavior? And third one to Thomas would be in regard to coalition treaty. Yesterday we saw it disclosed in Germany, and of course it's pretty broadly defined, but do you already see any positive impulse for the sector from it? And then two quick ones, last ones, maybe to Patrick. In your standing asset sales, first of all, congratulations to the 140 million. I think that's a very good result in my view. The remaining, or 60% of the remaining standing portfolio, what you mentioned is in the hotels. You also mentioned that you potentially would sell one hotel maybe this year. Could you provide any pricing information, i.e. yield, you have that hotel on your balance sheet, and also which one you would like to, or you think you would be very likely to be sold first, and also what liquidity impact you would expect from it. And last one is in regard to the EBT segment disclosure. I saw that the EBT by region Germany turned negative. Could you provide some detail what the main impact here was after a positive year 2023? And then also in the EBT by segment, you had a negative hotel development here. It would be also interesting to see the reason and also some insight into the hotel leasing business and the progress of it. Thank you very much.
Okay, let us be quick because we have 8 minutes left, and I'm grateful that I can answer the easier questions at the beginning. Leopold Quartier I wouldn't kind of, speak to it as openly if I weren't confident about it. And if you read our press release, I said we do as we say, and first we say what we do, and then we do as we say. So we have advanced talks with several tenants, one being particularly interesting from a sales point of view, because he's AAA rated, but I can say no more. And I learned to be cautious because I want to have a signature under a contract rather than a non-binding LOI or even less. Why am I talking about some interest? That was about the only positive news that our head of transactions came back from MIPIM in Cannes, that there is some promising interest for office space from buyers outside Austria and, I must say, Germany. Now, the Resi trend is continuing. It's a difficult question because, of course, I know the numbers for the first quarter, but then nobody would listen to the Q1 call. Still, some of my confidence is kind of backed by knowing these numbers. So the trend is definitely continuing, and that you can also read of our sub-headline there. Did anything change the last week? Too soon to ask. I've even asked our sales ladies, but they also found it difficult because I think the last 10 days people were busy with reorganizing their portfolio rather than buying an apartment. And the same is true for the German government, okay, that after 45 days, which would be a record here in Austria, has formed. From what I could read out of it is, while nothing is firm, they have identified resi as one of the potential bombs that could explode in their face if they don't do anything about it. They are talking about subsidizing KfW 55 opportunities and so on. So I think they've identified the issue. We've got to see how much action follows the verbal kind of commitments. And I think that was also your number three question. So I would hand to Patric for the standing assets.
Yeah, standing assets hotel. So just as a quick reminder, we are talking about five hotels. That is Jochberg and Focro, which are fully consolidated, Focro in the Netherlands. And these are three others where we have a partner, which is the Sugar Palace, Düsseldorf, and Potsdam. So in the equation, I would say the ones who look promising when we talk about current market and can that fit, that is probably Düsseldorf because it's up and running quite well. It produces a cash which is in the range of 6%+ when it comes to the comparison to the book value. And it is at the end of its ramp-up phase. So that would be a good one. Question there is, will the partner be willing to sell it? And we are not sure about his intentions when it comes to price points and if he's willing to sell it for 16-17 times the rent, because that is currently what we are seeing in the market. Another candidate is probably Focro. It is a little bit different when it comes to is it already finished with its ramp-up phase, but there's a clear path upwards in terms of cash. We are talking more about a 5%+, so there must be a belief of somebody who's buying it that you can bring it to 6% or 7%, then this is a good candidate. Sugar Palace I would exclude too early. Potsdam also ramp up too early. And then Jochberg is the one where we are currently in the phase that we want to make it marketable, I would say, which has to do with contracts around this hotel. To your EBT question,
yes.
Negative, that has to do with Bauberger Straße, because that is a land plot, basically, where we capitalized interest costs in the past, and we decided to change that approach in the year 2024. So normally, we start capitalization when we are in the phase that we have the permits. There we have permits, but we decided to wait until we are in the construction/erection phase. So that was the one which made it negative if we pick out one thing. And the last question you had was why are we negative in the hotel leasing business? We are not negative in the hotel leasing business, so the hotel segment and the leasing business are two pair of shoes. The leasing business is in the hotel business when it comes to segmental reporting, but there are also hotels inside, and some of the hotels had lower or a little bit higher write-downs, which we did when we came to the end of the year 2024 to make them marketable. which Thomas already said. So we were pretty neutral on the hotel leasing business in the year 2024.
Great. Thank you very much. That answers my question.
To be quick, because we have 1 minute left, sorry. I just wanted to thank you for your attention. It's good to hear you. We are looking forward to the Q1 conference call, and please don't hesitate to contact us in between, particularly Christoph, Rainer, and his team. Thank you very much, and have a good day.